Charata indirectly, Cha, and Karteshu, purposes, Abhigya, fully cognizant, Swarat, fully independent, Tene, imparted, Brahma, the Vedic knowledge, Girita, consciousness of the heart, Ya, one who, Adikabai, unto the original created being, Muyanti, our illusion, yet, about whom Surya, great sages and demigods, Teja, fire, Bari, water, Mritam, earth, Jata, as much as Vinimayaha, actions and reactions, Jatra, whereupon Sri Saruga, three modes of creation, creative facilities. Amrisha, almost factual. Dhamna, along with Dhamna, along with all transcendental paraphernalia. Shvena, self-sufficiency. Shada, always. Nirashta, negation by absence. Shuhakam, illusion. Satyam, truth. Param, absolute. Dimahi, I do meditate upon. Translation. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed in illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire or land seen in water. Only because of him do the material universes temporary manifest by the reaction of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So, some purport, I believe. Obeisances under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of these works. Sri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions, or portions of the portions. Sri Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Shandarbha, and Brahma, the original being, has explained the subject to has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise named the Brahma Samhita. In the Samaveda Upanishad, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be by the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means all attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by great sages like Narad and Vyas and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead, all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this text. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones amongst those in the renounced order of life. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes. Everything that exists emanates from the Lord. How this is so is explained in a later chapter of this work. This work is described by Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya as a spotless Purana because it contains the transcendental narration of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. The history of the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very glorious. It was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva after he had attained maturity in transcendental knowledge. He wrote this under the instructions of Sri Naradaji, his spiritual master. Vasudeva compiled all the Vedic literature containing the four divisions of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra or the Brahma Sutras, the Puranas and the Mahabharata and so on. But nevertheless, he was not satisfied. His dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master, and thus Narada advised him to write the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna. These transcendental activities are described specifically in the 10th canto of this work. But in order to teach, to the very substance, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. So the Lord instructed Brahma at the beginning of creation. Brahma instructed Narad. Narad instructed Vyasadeva. So there we have been presented with this spotless Purana, Kamala Purana. It's very completely pure because it was spoken by the Supreme Lord and recorded by Vyasadeva in the maturity of his life. So Vyasadeva had compiled many Vedas, but his spiritual master, Narada Muni, saw he was still not satisfied. So, and Vyasadeva admitted he wasn't satisfied, so he asked his guru that please remove my doubts. I'm not feeling so much satisfaction by writing all these, although I've written all these Vedic literatures. So Narada said, yes, that's the problem. You wrote too much in the Vedic literatures. And now people are using all these histories and stories for sense gratification. Just like it says, you can, if you sacrifice the goat on a dark moon night and worship, offer it to the goddess Kali, then you can take meat. Or you can worship the moon god and drink some intoxication. A beverage. So the people like that because they like to eat and take intoxication and so but when they told Vyasa, look, why you are trying to say that we shouldn't do this when our Shastra says we are followers of the Vedas and the Vedas says you can't eat meat, you can't take intoxication. So he was dissatisfied. So when Narada Muni came, he said, actually you've compiled these Vedic literatures, but actually you've done a misjustice. The people are not going to benefit from this because they're using these injunctions to, for their own sense gratification, to eat meat and in the name of followers of the Veda. So you've kept people very happy trying to enjoy in this material world. You've given them so many licenses. But all these restrictions restrictions, they are restrictions, that's what they are, restrictions. You want to eat meat, so eat it under these certain conditions. Prabhupada says now they put the picture of Kali in the butcher shop. They have a picture of Kali. And they say Kali Prasadam. They just offer it to the picture of Kali. So so these are to restrict, not to encourage people to eat meat, etc., but it's meant to discourage them. Oh, the discouragement is that when we kill this goat, the priest is going to chant in the goat of ear that Mamsai, today you kill me, tomorrow I'll kill you, I'll get another opportunity, another birth, and I will kill you. So the the pujari thinks, well, this is not a very good prayer to offer. And I have to. So as a restriction is there. So he enlightened Narad Muni, what have you done wrong? He said, you haven't glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and enough. So then Vedavyasa, again he compiled and making everything God-centered. Everything in the Bhagavatam is Krishna, Krishna's servants, and service. Some in Shantaras, some in Dasaras, some in Shakiras, some in Patsalaras, some in Madhujirasa. So all these different stories we're reading through in the Srimad Bhagavatam are all based on different types of relationships that the living entity has with Krishna. So they're all covered in the Bhagavatam. Especially the Raja Rishis, so many stories of the kings, and it's all covered in the Bhagavatam. And what is this saying? Yes, so he wrote the Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna, making Krishna the central object of his meditation and service. So here the text begins with, O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, you are the all-pervading Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So this is how Bhagavatam is starting. It's showing the position of Krishna, the God. This subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is for God realization. So for the very first shloka of the text, it establishes what the Bhagavatam is going to be all about. This is the beginning. So first it establishes that who is God. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that practically the Vedas, they only deal with these three subjects of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. That's all that's being spoken in the Vedas. Everything you do, every slight activity you do, it comprises of these three activities. You make a relationship with something, you put it into action, then you get a result. That's called Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. So everything we do like that in daily life, and any it comprises of these three aspects. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So when you condense these, or the essence of these three activities, as Vedavyasa is doing now, instead of teaching the Sambandha how to eat meat or anything, now he's teaching Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. So the essence of all of this, these aspects, these three aspects, is to know Krishna, is Sambandha. To know Krishna, to serve Krishna, that's your Abhideya. And to love Krishna, that is the final stage. Love of Godhead. Prem Pumata Pumam. So Sambandha and Abhideya means to know God, to serve God, and to love God. That is actually all the Vedas are talking about, when we condense it. So, yeah, so it's here that we see that the first shloka is glorifying. It begins with glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the sloka ends also by saying that I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So here it is speaking of the absolute truth. He starts the text with that, and he finishes his first text with it, the supreme absolute truth, understanding. So, what is the absolute truth? Many truths in this world. Mode of goodness is the truth. There are many truths in this world. But what is the absolute truth? So Krishna says, Mataha parananat kinchit asti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. So Krishna is saying that he is the absolute truth. So there's many truths, but Krishna says, I am the absolute truth. There is no truth superior to me. Kinchit asti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. That means Krishna is the absolute truth. When you have something there is superior, 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 when you come to that point there is no more superior, then is the absolute truth. And so Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. So Krishna is establishing himself also in Bhagavad Gita as he is the absolute truth. Because there's nothing superior to Krishna. And not only Krishna is speaking, but he's proving it by all of his uncommon activities from childhood to showing his Vishwarup to marrying 16,000 queens. Krishna speaks very frankly about himself and boldly, but he backs it up. He's not, so many people are saying, I am Krishna, I am Bhagavan, I am God. But they can't back it up. Prabhupada said that if you're Bhagavan, you please exhibit the Vishwarup, then we will consider. So they cannot exhibit the Vishwarup, but Krishna can. So all these uncommon activities. So Krishna's not just speaking, "I am God." That's cheap, but he actually proves it by his activities when he's here. But then that absolute Krishna is saying very directly, there's no truth superior to me, the absolute truth. But why we don't accept it? As easy as that, as easy as Krishna spoke it. We don't accept it so quickly. It takes a long time to get in. This is due to all the misinterpretations of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and commentaries on by people who actually don't have proper understanding. Just like Prabhupada said, Brahma Samhita Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Nanda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Okay, there are many causes, but the ultimate cause is Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. So Prabhupada said, who would have known the meaning of that? Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Unless how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained the meaning of it. He said, otherwise we wouldn't know, because Ishvara means what? Controller, he's a controller. So everybody knows he's a controller, is God. And God is, he is Brahman, he is unknowable. Or he is, the absolute. Parama, Ishvara, Parama, Parama means also it's like supreme. So that we hear these words use these words all the time. So, but for them, most of them, because they're jnanis, most of them are interpreting all these words to mean Brahman. So they talk about the truth. Yes, the truth is Brahman. Talk about Ishvara. Yes, the Ishvara, that is Brahman. Parama is, yeah, that the Parama is also Brahman. This is the danger of Mayavada philosophy, very deeply rooted. That they, you see everything in, because the Shankaracharya has skillfully brought this doctrine of illusion and his philosophy. So everything is all one, it's also all these different names, even Krishna himself, they're all Brahman. His philosophy, Shankar's philosophy, doesn't allow a duality, any duality, so everything is just all one, they're not separate. So Prabhupada Sam Bhaktisiddhanta explained that Krishna is saying very clearly who he is that Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is Brahman, everybody knows him. Chit, he is Chit, yeah, conscious, supreme consciousness. Ananda, blissful, he's blissful. So every word they use to understand that, make out to mean that's God. It's God's. God means all these different names for it, but they're not giving credit to Krishna's actual form, which is the real meaning of the mantra. Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's the controller of everything. He's got a form of eternality, knowledge and bliss. That's a description, a personal description. So because of the illusion, then everybody is just single. It doesn't really matter what name you use, the absolute truth is, whatever name you give it, it's all one. So yeah, so we have to hear from the devotees, otherwise how would you ever understand? So we have these different mantras. Mahabhakta, Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Shayam. Bhagavatam goes on to explain that there are many, many incarnations of the Lord. Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Shayam. Krishna is the original personality of God. There are many incarnations, but Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Shayam. That means he is actually Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's Krishna. This is the supreme verse for the Vaishnavas. Mahabhakta. Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swami. That verse so clearly mentions there are many, many other forms, but the supreme form. So their individuality is there. It's not that everything is one and there is no individuality. So Prabhupada was speaking with one, he was a poet, I think in England, and he was preaching Krishna consciousness, and then the poet said, my father told me, or asked me, my father asked me, who told God? Who told God? God knows everything, but who told him? Who told God everything? Trick question, right? So, Prabhupada said, first you understand God, then you can ask this question. So as mentioned here, Krishna is Sarat, that he is completely independent. He doesn't need anyone to tell him anything. He knows everything. He is Sarat. This is the nature of Krishna. So if you first we understand about the nature of Krishna, then we can, then you'll understand how, why he is God. Yeah, so if you He is completely independent. Prabhupada gave another definition how we can find God. And he said, you have a father. Everybody has a father. So you go on searching. Who was your father? Who was his father? Who was his father? You go on searching. When you come to that person, he had no father, he's God. Go on searching and asking, who was your father, who was your... When you come to that person who had no father, he is God. But God, he can do that. But other ordinary persons, they cannot do that. They can say it, but they cannot do it. But Krishna, he has no father, he is unborn or self-born. But for Leela, he will accept. Not for Leela, yeah, for Leela. He can accept father and mother. So, so what is the absolute truth? This is beginning with the absolute truth. So that you have to find out, that everyone has to find out. That is your self-realization. You have to search for the absolute truth. If you're fortunate and you meet devotees, you can very quickly, you can make advancement. But if you don't meet devotees, it's very, very difficult to speculate on trying to understand the absolute truth. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is like a sound incarnation of the absolute truth, or sound vibration. Like the holy name of Krishna. Sound incarnation of the absolute truth. I was in Prabhupada's room here, and Prabhupada was chanting, walking in and out one room, bedroom to his office room, chanting very gravely. I was there with Satsarup Maharaj. We were just sitting on the bed, on the mattress. And Prabhupada was walking backwards and forwards. Then he came, and then he stopped in front of us, and he said, he's chanting, Hare Krishna is the sound incarnation of the absolute truth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very great. But he was appreciating the presence of the absolute truth. That sound via incarnation. Incarnation of the absolute truth. So it's a transcendental sound vibration. It's more than that, of course, but the absolute truth, generally we can first perceive it as a sound incarnation, transcendental vibration. Just like the holy name has reveals himself to the chanter as Nama, then Rupa, then Guna, then Leela. These generally are manifested one after the other. So the holy name of God is the sound vibration. Prabhupada, I think it was in in John Lennon's house, in Jamuna's book anyway, Jamuna Devi. And they were walking in the grounds of John Lennon's estate. And then Prabhupada told his, that he was chanting of Hare Krishna. He said, it's a sound vibrations, it's transcendental sound vibrations. What did he say? Yeah, he was saying the holy name is a sound vibration. So it's there, the vibration there, the holy name. That's the beginning. But you have to tune into that sound vibration. So this is the gradual progression in spiritual life. We're realizing these different aspects of Godhead, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us by his example this progression of chanting Hare Krishna. When he was in Gaya, he took initiation from his spiritual master, Vishwarapuri. He was initiated into the holy name. And after a few days, he went to see his spiritual master. And he said that, I don't know what kind of mantra you've given to me, but I think I'm going a bit puggle, some crazy, because when I'm chanting this mantra, I'm dancing, I'm chanting, tears are coming from my eyes. I feel like I'm maybe going a bit mad. And his spiritual master said, very good my boy, very good. keep going on doing it. So Mahaprabhu was experiencing ecstasies almost immediately after initiation. Almost to show, yes, it can be done. Mahaprabhu is our teacher. He's come to, as a bhakta avatar, to show us. It was almost immediate. In a day or two, he went to see his spiritual master. He said, what's happening when I'm chanting? So where did that ecstasy come from? He was there, he was chanting Hare Krishna. Nothing else was happening, but he was getting ecstasy. So where was that ecstasy coming from? It was coming from the holy name. So Nama, first Nama realization. So Mahaprabhu, very quickly he attained it. This is all aspects of the Absolute Truth. The Holy Name is on the same transcendental platform. Vibration. So that's called Nama realization. You're realizing the presence of the Lord in His holy name and in your own heart and in the heart of others also, that sound vibration will become manifested. So that's Nama. The next is Rupa. Rupa. Hare Krishna. First, Rupa. Second is Rupa. Nam Rupa. And he saw Lord Krishna from Gaya. Gaya, he went to Kenai Nathshala. That place is called Gupta Vrindavan. It's none different than Vrindavan. We have a temple there. It's near the Bihar border. Very beautiful environment. Anyway, Mahaprabhu went there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put some footprints of Mahaprabhu. They have footprints of Radha and Krishna, which are said to have been there since 5,000 years ago. They are deities also. But there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Krishna there. Like Kenai Nathshala. When he came back to Mayapur, he told all the devotees, you will come to Nilamba Brahmacharya's house. I'll tell you what happened on my journeys to Gaya and Kenai Nathshala, how Krishna revealed himself. And I saw Krishna, he was there, and he was, come on. He was playing his flute. And I went too, but he disappeared. Where is Krishna? I went into another ecstasy. So that rupa, the form, the holy name reveals the form of the Lord. And then the qualities, the guna qualities of the Lord. The holy name reveals these qualities. Yes, Krishna's, you can hear Krishna's sweet voice. You can feel the touch of Krishna's body, skin, very delicate. You can hear his flute or his sweet voice. So these are the gunas, these are the qualities. So the holy name will reveal these qualities of Krishna. And Krishna, Mahaprabhu was showing us it. He said, "My Krishna is so beautiful, he's so attractive. My eyes, they want to rush towards him. Simultaneously, my nose, sense of smell, gunas, qualities, the sense of smell. He wants to smell Krishna's body, which smells like agaru and camphor. And my sense of smell rushes towards Krishna. And my sense of hearing, when Krishna's playing his flute, it rushes. All of my senses, at one, usually one sense does one thing at a time. You hear, you see, you speak. But he said, here are my senses, they're having a tug of war. You know tug of war? You have a rope and... having a tug of war, they're pulling. All of my, simultaneously, they're tearing me apart. Usually you just get one sense is working at a time. But here all of my senses, Krishna is so attractive, these gunas are qualities, they're attracting all of my senses towards Krishna. So that's a revelation from the holy name, guna, then lila. Then Mahaprabhu again gave the example, he was unconscious, the devotees, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, wake up, Hare Krishna. They didn't like to see him like that, but Mahaprabhu woke up, he said, why did you call me? I was there with Radha Madhava and the Shakis, we were picking flowers, we were going to make some lila. He could see, he was part of the lila, they were picking flowers. So this is all revelations from the holy name, it's all enacted on this transcendental platform, on the platform of the absolute truth. All these realizations are coming. They're all different aspects of the absolute truth. The service in the spiritual world is all going on under the divine potency, which has many names, but referred to often as the absolute truth, especially here. So this is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to make us God realized. Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami. But Prabhupada said that here, by the time you read these first nine cantos of Bhagavatam, you are sure to become self-realized. And then when you're self-realized, you can enter into Vrindavan. That's the 10th canto. So the first 9 cantos are teaching us Krishna and his devotees and their relationships. By hearing all these different stories, a certain taste will develop. You want to be like that. I want to follow, like he's in Dasaras, or I want to follow in Shantaras, like the cows, the trees. That taste will gradually develop, and that will create your new body, your spiritual body. So, so then you can enter into Vrindavan by studying the Bhagavatam, step by step, 9 cantos, 10th canto, Vrindavan Jabo, go to Vrindavan, go back home, back to Gata. So it's all on the absolute platform of the absolute truth, but variety is there, so much unlimited variety. For the Mayavadi's Gyan is the absolute truth, is the absolute truth, nothing else. Anything else would interfere with the philosophy of Shankaracharya. But university in in diversity and forget unity. Yeah, unity in diversity. That had a big impression on my own spiritual life. That, because I was influenced obviously by Mayavad, 99% people are influenced. So, so we were searching, for the absolute truth, and that one absolute truth. So we were searching, and a lot of, in the 1960s there was this search, a lot of people going searching for the truth due to Srila Prabhupada's presence on the planet. He pushed the consciousness up. And everybody, they wanted to do something, they wanted to change, they wanted truth, they wanted some substance. And so Prabhupada was there, by his presence, he pushed the consciousness up, just like when Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago. Pushed the whole presence up. So Navadvip was the center of learning at that time, a famous place. In Europe at that time they were making all these gorgeous cathedrals and abbeys and churches, gorgeous stained glass windows and very awe-inspiring paintings and frescoes on the ceiling and St. Peter's, and all our beautiful artwork was coming out, beautiful types of music, classical music. Religiously oriented, but it's called the Renaissance period. The whole consciousness was pushed up by the presence of Mahaprabhu and Navadvipa. So similarly, when Prabhupada was here, he pushed the whole consciousness up and started this, you know, we want to understand what is the truth. So, Prabhupada said it's quite easy to come to an impersonal conclusion if you study by yourself, really. But if you study with devotees and hear with devotees, it's okay. Anyway, I was trying to understand the one absolute. And then I read in Prabhupada's, it's the first thing I looked at, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. And in the purport, he's talking about the Shara Akshara, Shara Akshara. Yes, thank you. The fallible and unfallible. There's two classes of persons, fallible and unfallible. Infallible. Fallible is the jivas who are bound up in this material world. The infallible are those who are in the spiritual world. So they've got two types of jivas, two types of Brahman, two types of absolute. You've got the conditioned Brahman and you've got the liberated Brahman. But then Krishna says again, here you've got a duality, conditioned Brahman, and so that's okay for the Mayavadis, because we understand there is a duality, but material and spiritual. How can it be too spiritual? Will be a duality. So you have a material and you have a spiritual. So that the Mayavadis can kind of get round. Jagat Mithya, it's false. Then Krishna. Brahma Shatvan, Brahma is truth, Jagat Mithya, the material world is false. So that they can ride with that, with the duality, because one's material and one's spirit. Then he says, Krishna says, then I enter into, as that Parabrahman, beyond the conditioned Brahman and the liberated Brahman. So here, how he is the duality, there's two spiritual, the spiritual Jiva Brahman, who is liberated, and there is another, Krishna says, I enter as the Parabrahman, and I maintain all the others. So you've got two Brahmans there. Then Krishna says, then, because I am celebrated as that Purushottam, at the greatest, above all others, I am celebrated, I am beyond the conditioned Brahman, I am beyond the liberated Brahman, I am beyond the super soul, the power of Brahman, I am beyond Varaha, Shringadev, all these different incarnations, because I am beyond all these, therefore I am known as Purushottam, my name is Purushottam, I am up above everyone else, Purushottam. So of course the Mayavadis, they're bewildered. They got four types of Brahman to deal with, so they can't wear it. But Prabhupada says in his purport, and when I read it, it just struck me. He said oneness, which we were searching for, oneness of the Absolute. Oneness does not mean that there is no individuality, but there is no disunity. And it struck me in my heart. Oneness doesn't mean there is no individuality, but there is no disunity. And Prabhupada summed it up in one sentence. Everyone was searching for the one, that maybe they still are. The one absolute truth. Prabhupada smashed it in one sentence. Oneness doesn't mean there is no individuality, but there is no disunity. Anyway, this is the glory of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from your devotees like Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then we can have some understanding, otherwise we'll be confused, undoubtedly. So this is the glory of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's only pointing out Krishna's devotees and the relation, sambandhara videya prayojana, to know God, to serve God, to love God.
in a nutshell. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Do you have a question? This word vibration, what does it mean? Yeah, we're saying that a holy name chanting is a vibration. Prabhupada said it's a vibration. Two times he said when that walk. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is it's a vibration. It's a feeling, but a transcendental feeling, not like we've ever felt before. We get feelings and emotions in this material world. You're dealing with lovers, you get so much mixed feelings, it becomes very strong, the feelings. That's a material, immaterial feeling. But it's a spiritual feeling, but first we have to understand spirit. In our experience we have three stages of consciousness. Waking, we're aware now, we're awake state, we're aware. Then there's a dreaming state, you're in the dream world somewhere. So that's another existence. And then we see things happening in the dream, pastimes going on. So that's another experience. First is the awake experience, then the dreaming experience. Then we have a deep sleep experience. Unconscious, practically. But we say, I had a really good sleep last night. That means you were conscious of your good sleep. So that's three stages, three dimensions. Waking stage, dreaming stage, and deep sleep are unconscious. The unconscious state is the nearest, closest thing to liberation. So there's another dimension, fourth dimension, that's called Turiya. Turiya. It's a transcendental vibration. It's known as different names, Brahman, the Absolute Truth, different functions. It's all the internal potency. Different aspects of the internal potencies. So the transcendental energies. Chetodara Punamajanam. It's a state of feeling. When the heart is pure, or Chetodara Punamajanam, the heart is cleansed, you'll feel what's already there. It's there already, but it's covered. But by the process of Krishna consciousness, so you cleanse all that. And then that feeling will be there. It's there, it's eternally, it is you. But you have to cleanse it now. With the chanting of Hare Krishna is the main aspect. Yes, it's a feeling of transcendence. All the spiritual pastimes in the spiritual world go on under these different energies. Chit potency, Aladini potency. They're all the same as manifestations of that one absolute truth. Okay. You read in? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Maha Mantra. Yeah. When Chaitanya, the holy name is always there. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he empowered the holy name with love of Godhead, Goloka Prem. Yes, the Prabhupada said it. Yes. No, it's the holy name revealing itself. So according to the devotee, then Krishna reciprocates. So if you're serving Krishna, Dasaras Krishna will accept that. The holy name will accept the mood of Dasaras. If you're in Vatsalaras, the holy name will accept. And yeah, so Krishna reciprocates. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu had been given by his spiritual master initiation into Goloka Prema, Raja Prema. So then the holy name would reveal Raja Prema. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. He's approaching in the mood of Raja Prema. So the holy name will reciprocate. As Prajapati. Yeah. Thank you. Prabhupada ki jai. Devyasu ki jai. Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai. Hai go premanandi. How you go? Thank you. Radha Krishna, and empowered it.